Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast program with Nancy. Hey, Mike, guess what?
Hey.
It's a Happy New Year 2017. What do you think?
Happy New Year, Nancy.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Are you ready to go?
I am good to go.
Do you remember that we're kind of celebrating our 1 year anniversary?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We should have some beers for that.
I know, right? We've been in business a full year with our podcast.
A full year, believe it or not.
I've been in business since 1992, but you know, we're keeping it fresh, got to start something new. And so this has been tremendous. I love working with you. We're a good team, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you better say that.
I'm loving this so much. So congratulations for making this happen.
Oh, great. Yeah. And thank you to our thousands of listeners. We're just really appreciating you. And we're going to continue building this thing into something great.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Yeah, thanks. You too. And Happy New Year to our listeners. Today in the studio, we have Pete Makalek. Pete Makalek is a consultant and skill builder who specializes in helping business professionals move forward, build business, and work more effectively and productively with each other. In 2001, Pete and his partner, Dean Hires, co-founded Sage Presence around their backgrounds in film, from which they cultivated a unique expertise in storytelling and facilitating performances that truly speak to the audiences. Throughout its history, Sage Presence has helped thousands of clients generate confident and influential stage presence to tell powerful stories everywhere, from the networking floor to the presenter's stage, ultimately leading to professional advancement and client organizations winning over $4 billion in new business. Well, Happy New Year to you. How are you, Pete?
Thank you. I'm doing very well.
Great.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you here in the studio.
Me too.
We always start with our conversations with a place where we check in through our self-awareness mentoring journal that you already filled out so that you could check in with what's going on with you emotionally. You could kind of ground in the moment, feel centered, and everybody feels a little bit nervous starting up. But once we get in the flow of the conversation, it kind of, we just go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Cool.
So how are you feeling right now?
I think I'm feeling pretty centered.
We
mentioned before recording started that I live about a half an hour away. So that gave me plenty of time to kind of think about this and prep and get into a good mental
zone.
Space.
Yeah. Yes.
Driving seems to do that.
Yeah, you know? It does. Yeah. Did you listen to any particular music or?
Actually, I listened to a podcast. I should say I listened to one of your podcasts,
yeah.
But it was a different podcast.
Okay. What was the name of the podcast? Our listeners might be interested.
Okay. I'll say it. It's a little bit odd. So cracked.com
okay.
is a humor site, but they do an amazingly intelligent podcast. And this one was about the gender difference in sort of the mating ritual, I guess, a scene from different genders and how there's an amazing...
Dance?
No, it's sort of the downside of it. It's
oh.
There's a terrible double standard that kind of hurts everyone.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so it's a really intelligent conversation about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't ask me how that got me into a good zone.
Yeah.
But it did, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I always find, too, you can get so much information from a podcast and when you're sitting in the car listening. And
yeah, I'm kind of addicted to them these days.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, yeah. Addiction is addiction. I mean, you know, you need boundaries.
Yeah.
All the time. Well, anyways, you and I met over LinkedIn, which is the first time that I've met anyone over the social media in this format. It was just kind of funny because out of all the people around the world, you know, that you connect with on LinkedIn, you were almost like in our backyard.
Yeah.
You know, same state, half an hour apart.
Yeah.
So I was really glad that you connected with me when I was friending you.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any recollection how that happened? I mean, did you find me? Yeah, you found...
Yeah, I found you and then you responded.
Right.
And
Yeah. So here's my deal with LinkedIn. I accept a lot of relationships over LinkedIn, and a lot of people, I think, have no idea why they want to connect. And the thing that I really appreciated about you is that you tapped me and I said yes. And I said, now that we're connected, what's up? And you actually had a really good answer.
Oh, okay.
And just so often I ask that question, and probably 90% of the time I get no answer. And the other 10% of the time, I get a, well, just looking to build my network, which is kind of equivalent to no answer, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, why connect with somebody if you don't want to talk about something in particular?
Yeah. And so then I think, exchanged phone numbers, and I called you, and here you are. It turned out great. We first met in person. So that we knew each other were legitimate business owners.
That helps.
And I'm like, well, if I'm going to have you on the show, I expose you to my audience, you know, I want to make sure that I'm feeling comfortable with you and the work that you do. And I'm excited. And Dean Hires, your partner, is also going to be in the studio. So the audience will get a chance to see kind of the complement between the both of you. Mm. Partnerships are really challenging. And so, you know, they're like a close relationship where you kind of have to keep the communication open and keep working on the relationship, because in business, things change a lot.
Right.
So it's easy for people to move into different directions. So since you've been in partnership since 2001, that's 15 years.
It is.
You know, how did you guys meet?
We met in college. We were acquaintances in college. And then after college, I went off to film school. This was 89. Dean started his own business in the early 90s when I moved back to the Twin Cities. And a mutual friend kind of reintroduced us. And then Dean and I were friends through the 90s while he built this company. It was called Digital Cafe, this multimedia company at the time that the word multimedia was being invented. And so we were pretty good friends by the end of the decade, at which point he sold his business and said, I want to make a movie. And it was something he wanted to do since he was 12. And actually, when all throughout his teens, he and his brother made Super 8 movies, you know, whereas most people at the most would make these little 3-minute random things,
sure,
which is what my friends and I did. He and his brother would splice together dozens of these Super 8 reels and turn them into movie-length movies. It was crazy. Cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dean is somebody who, when he knows what he wants, he will just do it, which is, it's probably the biggest thing that I've always respected about him. Anyway, he sold his business and kind of put together a team to make a movie. On that team was a mentor of his. It was a filmmaker from San Francisco. And he asked this guy, what should I do to prepare for production? And this guy said, you're going to want to work with actors as much as you possibly can. Start an acting workshop. So he asked me if I wanted to do this acting workshop with him, to create this acting workshop. And I was doing nothing at the time that was motivating me. So I was like, yes, please. That would be great.
Yeah.
So we created this acting workshop, and it was kind of unusual right off the bat. It was... it was improv, because largely because we didn't want to futz around with scripts, but mostly because we recognized that acting is all about authenticity. Kind of the job of acting is to have this movie be as real as possible for audiences.
Sure.
And what we recognized is there's an emotional authenticity at the core of that actors have to get to. So that's what we were focusing on in the workshop. And it was a pretty amazing experience starting this workshop. We pretty much created it from nothing. And right from the get-go, we were building these skills in class and sending people home to practice and getting really, really amazing feedback from folks as they were telling us about their practice. And a lot of the practice was not just from home, but from work. You know, one of my big ahas was that all actors have day jobs, you know, especially in Minneapolis.
Right.
They were talking about how the workshop was helping them think on their feet and connect more meaningfully with customers and with coworkers. Bosses were starting to notice them more. They were getting better able to just kind of find their words and be more convincing. They were climbing their career. And they were saying it was all up to the workshop. And I was like, boy, you know, I think we got something here.
Yeah. And so, something you felt good about.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. So, you know, I tapped Dean and I was like, you know, are you hearing what people are saying? I mean, this is really something we could do. And he was like, yeah, that's neat. But but he was focused on making a movie.
Sure. You know? So, yeah. That's where his passion was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I kind of had to wait. So he made his movie. And then in 2001... two kind of cool things happened back to back. First thing was this is the weirdest part of the story. We got contacted by the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center down in Georgia, which we had never heard of before. And yeah. I guess that's by design. Anyway, they had found our website. They were looking for training for 17 covert agents. They needed to know the basics of improvisation so that they could do these deep cover jobs. And, you know, so they describe it to us over the phone and they're like, so can you do that? Dean and I were like, sure.
okay.
You know, we improvised the answer. But, you know, yeah, we'd never done anything like that before. But you know, we thought about our curriculum and what we had created and we were like, yeah, it all fits. So we kind of described everything that we could do. And they said, yep, that works. So they flew us down. We worked with these 17 agents. At the end of it, they said, this is great. Thank you. And they kind of sent us home. And on the plane ride back, Dean was like, huh, yeah, this might be cool enough for us to like have a business here. So this was, you know, after his movie was done and we were doing the workshop again, mostly because we just really liked it.
Yeah.
So that happened. And then almost immediately after, we had a person take the workshop and after a session came to us and said, hey, I work at an architectural firm and I think we need you there. They had just lost this like $40 million opportunity.
Oh my
and
gosh.
They were specifically told, yeah, we just didn't feel that connection. So they said, we've got another opportunity coming up. And it was another similar size project. And they said, you know, can you help us connect? And, you know, that was what we were doing in the workshop over and over and over again. So we were like, well, sure. You know, if you've experienced it here in the workshop, we can do it with your architects in the firm. And they brought us in. We worked with these five architects for 3 days. And at the end of it, sent them to the interview. And not only did they win, but when the owner told them the news, they said, you know, you were the only ones that we could connect with.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, they used our language on them, you know. So I mean
that's the greatest compliment, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was some pretty amazing validation right from the get-go. So okay. That was enough for us to start the business.
Oh, very cool. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you grew up.
Let's see. Kind of a semi-complicated answer for that. I moved to Minnesota here when I was 11, which I think is exactly in the middle of growing up. So
okay.
Before that, I was in Kansas City, Kansas. Let's see, I'm the youngest of eight. Yeah, I guess my one line explanation for that is my mom used to be Catholic.
Okay, yeah. I come from a big family too. Not quite as big, six. Mm. But
oh, yeah, that's still big. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm eighth of eight. And I think that was a big part of my identity, you know, kind of always being the youngest. And there was kind of a powerful culture in the family that I think also was kind of a big part of just how my way of thinking got developed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that? Like, what do you have, like, an example of how that? might have come about? Or maybe why don't we go into this a little bit differently? What brought your parents to Minnesota? What were they up to in Kansas City?
This
is Kansas City, Kansas? Or
yeah, Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay.
But we were 15 minutes away from the border, so
okay.
Our church was in Missouri. That's how close we were.
Oh, that is really close. Yeah. Okay.
We moved to Minnesota because of my dad's career. I was born in Chicago. Most of my siblings grew up substantially in and around Chicago.
Okay.
So my folks got married in 53. They had their first kid in 55. They had 8 kids in 11 years.
Oh, my.
No twins, no triplets.
Yeah.
just
it's a lot of years just, to be pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured it out once. My mom was pregnant 55% of the time over the course of 12 years.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard to fathom at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen so much these days.
Yeah.
So my family kind of moved around every 2 years. My dad was a very confident dude. And as his family grew, let's see, I think I can say this on the air. So every time my dad got amorous, my mom would say, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. And he would say, trust me, it's okay. And that's why we have 8 kids in the family.
Yeah.
And he really did make it work. I mean, he just consistently piloted his career to get a better job every time.
So what field was he in?
He was, advertising, eventually publishing, but it was sort of advertising-driven publishing. He sold advertising for a while, and then eventually Minnesota allowed him to be a publisher himself, and eventually he founded his own company when he was like 53.
Oh.
So he was kind of a late entrepreneur, but I think he always kind of had that drive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and things seem to build on, there's a big population of those who go into entrepreneurship in their 30s, and then there's a whole another big curve in their 50s.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It has to do with kind of where people are in their life, mm-hmm. and also, you know, how they fund their startup.
Yeah, yeah.
And having a skill set or seeing, being far long enough in the marketplace where you see the opportunities.
Right, right. Yeah, and ultimately what happened for him was he was working for a publishing company called Lakewood, and they threw out 3 publications. They just said, these aren't going to work anymore. And he was like, I think they're still going to work. So he just said, hey, if you're just going to throw them away, can I take them?
Oh, and so that's the opportunity that was handed to
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. And he did well with them for, can't remember how long, 3 years, 5 years, something like that. He piloted them to success, and then just the...
no siblings of yours got into the publishing?
Actually, business? At one time or another, I think 6 out of 8 of us worked for him in some capacity.
Okay.
And one brother actually is doing kind of similar work still.
Okay.
25 years later. Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
So you were young enough and you saw all your siblings kind of growing up. Are your siblings entrepreneurial?
A bunch of them are. Yeah, so there are 5 brothers and 3 sisters. None of the sisters... No, excuse me. One of the sisters is. She runs a sign-making company in Jackson, Wyoming.
Oh, my old stomping ground for a summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's lived there for, close to 30 years. Yeah, she's perfect for that place.
Yeah, it's a fun place to visit.
Yeah. Yes.
For you.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
2 of my brothers outright have businesses. The other 2 might say they do as well, but those are a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the risk-taking obviously sounds like it's in the family.
When we started the business, I had very little certainty that I was the right personality type for that sort of thing. It felt like a big risk.
Yeah.
I never thought of myself as a risk-taking person, but I was pretty unhappy before having done it. You know, I felt like, you know, my life was very comfortable.
Okay.
Not like financially comfortable, but just comfortable. I was not doing anything that pushed me, and I was not doing anything that really spoke to me. But, you know, I knew that I was in zero danger of, like, losing the job. You know, so it was secure. That's the right word, not comfortable. It was secure.
Yeah. What field was that in?
I was working for my brother who was
the publisher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So I was designing ads, but eventually I was doing a little programming. I was managing his circulation lists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which later in life are client lists.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some skills transfer there.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, so it was definitely a useful experience. But, my wife will tell you that I would come home and be, I don't know if pouty is the right word.
Okay.
I would get into kind of long funks because I was not doing anything that interested me.
Okay.
When the possibility of the business came along, I was not at all sure that it would work for me, but I wanted to find out.
Yeah. So it was worth taking the risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about where did you go to school at? And so you moved to Minnesota when you were 11.
Right.
What were some of your interests at that age?
It's kind of a dull story. I was a geek. So read a lot of comic books, watched a lot of TV, watched a lot of movies. That was sort of my eventual interest. I wanted to make movies. You know, this was the 80s, so I taught myself to program.
There's a lot of funny movies out, like Rodney Dangerfield. And
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and all the Star Wars movies and all the Indiana Jones movies.
Exactly.
So a lot of Lucas and a lot of Spielberg.
Yeah, where they just were starting out, you know, the first step films. First movie series.
Okay. Right. I think a big part of it was movies were just, they were a much kind of bigger part of the culture than they are now. You know, now they're kind of like wallpaper because there's so many of them.
Oh.
But they used to be more like events.
Yeah.
You know, and there was something about the event that drew me. You know, I was impacted by them because they were events.
Okay.
So I wanted to get involved in something that impacted people. Yeah.
Oh.
That's totally in retrospect. I definitely wouldn't have said it at the time.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm recognizing in later life. A successful movie would like have people talking about it for a long time.
Yeah, and you didn't have a large selection.
Right.
So when the movie was in the theater, I mean, you had maybe a couple of choices?
Right.
And they were in the theater for longer.
Exactly, yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, we have to go this weekend or we'll never see it, but...
Right.
You could tell your friends about it and then there would be enough time for them to go see it or you could see it more than once.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, people talked about them for long enough that you could tell that, I mean, it was sort of dictating the national conversation for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about I remember when Close Encounters came out, you know, people talked about that sort of thing for a long time. And I read this recently. This is kind of a scary example. But when Jaws came out, enough people went out and started hunting and killing sharks that we actually decimated the population of sharks because of that movie.
Oh, my gosh. The power of it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And building the scariness around being in the water and you're going to be bit by a shark.
Right. Yeah,
I'm sure. And there's enough stories still around.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
40
that,
years later.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw that movie again a couple of years ago.
Still works.
Because I was like, well, I was thinking for my daughter who's 14, I'm just thinking this might be something she, you know, might be interested in.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But Harry Potter is the only one that I can think of where people have talked about it
and
for years and years and years. But it also, the books were much mm-hmm. more popular, you know, that happened, of course, before the movies were made of it.
They were kind of at the same time. I think the first movie came out at the third book, something like that.
Yeah,
but really, you're right. I mean, it takes
that
something.
Was an event, and it also was like a phenomena.
Yes. Yeah, good word.
Yeah. Very cool. So did you have some challenges that you overcame in your childhood that helped you to kind of develop a strength of character?
I experienced a lot of fear and anxiety as a kid and kind of consistently compared myself to other kids my age and a lot to my siblings and, you know, constantly sure. kind of judged myself to be like not up to something, you know, not up to it.
Okay.
Too scared to try it, too scared to do it.
Okay.
I think actually, ultimately, I think that's what brought me to want to do the business. Oh.
You wanted to break out of that.
Yeah. I wanted to stop not doing something because I was too scared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of a dumb time in my life to start a business. I mean, this was 2001, so I had a 3-year-old and a less than 1-year-old.
Okay.
And my wife was not working.
Yeah.
And it's not like I had much money saved up. But I asked my wife if I could. And what she said was essentially, well, if it means you'll stop moping, then yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. She knew you were unhappy.
Yeah.
And so you, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you must have been pretty confident with this opportunity, or there's something deep in you that.
What helped was having a partner.
Okay.
That was a huge part of it. I certainly wouldn't have done it alone.
Yeah.
It seemed like a huge opportunity. And yeah, I think just having somebody else to. Not fall back on, but just have somebody
share the
with
risk.
You. Yeah, to share the risk. That's a good point.
Yeah,
good,
and good okay. Well, we're already at the end of our first mentoring conversation. I think what's beautiful about what you're sharing is the degree of fear and anxiety mm-hmm. That someone experiences, and the fact that you kind of let it sit with you for a while.
Yeah,
and you realized, you know what, this isn't going away.
Right.
This is not going away. I got to do something about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somehow with this.
Oh, the covert agent.
The covert agent thing. You know, that's almost like a intriguing story. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
All of a sudden my life is taking a shift and I'm not sure which way I'm going to go, but let's try out this cool opportunity and just see what happens.
Yeah, that was absolutely a huge part of it. Sort of every step along the way in the creation of the workshop that led to the business was kind of validation that it wasn't crazy and it wasn't stupid to turn it into a business. Because there were little risks along the way and they all worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like all things are pointing in the right direction.
Right.
And you had enough sense to like notice that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, would you like to come back for a second mentoring session?
Would love to.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We're going to go into a little bit more depth for our second mentoring conversation with Pete Makalik at Sage Presence. And keep working hard this week and tune in next week. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.